Good morning. Now please open in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. We'll be looking at chapter 8 today. And as you'll notice on the sign outside and in your bulletin, my intention for today was to preach Ecclesiastes 8, verses 1 through 15. My hope was to cover the whole chapter, and I was a little overambitious in that end. And so as I was about halfway through the preparation of my sermon, I realized I had about a whole sermon's worth of material, so I better stop, or else this is going to be a very long morning. So we're just going to go to verse 5 today, Ecclesiastes 8, verses 1 through 5. Even though there is one common theme that runs through all of those verses, take this as part 1. And next week we'll return, Lord willing, for part 2. So hear now the reading of God's holy and inspired word from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. Be not hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing, and the wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. Our Lord in heaven, thank you for your word, and we pray that you would grant us wisdom by your Holy Spirit. To understand you, to understand your world, your word, and understand this world in which we live. Help us to live faithfully according to your scriptures in a way that honors you, but also honors those institutions that you have placed in this world. And Lord God, we pray you would help us to be shining lights in this dark world as we walk with wisdom. Please use this jar of clay for your glory's sake. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, last time we considered Solomon's teaching, we learned from him that we are to rest in the hands of our God in the midst of this crooked world. And while that is a very important and fundamental truth for us to grasp, teaching us how to live with confidence in peace, Solomon is still interested in teaching us how we are to live well in this world as we rest in the hand of God. How do we live well in response to the various circumstances that we find ourselves in? In order to live well, Solomon, as he's done so many times before, commends to us the attainment and the use of wisdom. How to live well with wisdom in this crooked world. And this is what he draws our attention to in verse 1. Who is wise? Who is like the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. Now, with that opening question, Solomon doesn't mean to say that wisdom is entirely unattainable and that there is no one who has wisdom. He's simply referring to the rarity of wisdom among mankind. There are not many who have, or if they do have it, use wisdom. And so we find a lot of foolish decisions occurring in our world by foolish people, and sadly we find a lot of foolish decisions made even by those who have wisdom. Of all the supposed wise men in the courts of Pharaoh and of King Nebuchadnezzar, none of them were able to aid their respective rulers whenever it came time to give the proper interpretation of the dreams of their respective kings. It wasn't until Joseph came along in Pharaoh's case, or Daniel came along in Nebuchadnezzar's case, that truly a wise man was found who was able to give an interpretation of the things that these kings were looking for. And this wisdom was something that was given to them by God himself. And even those pagan rulers recognized that it was the God of heaven who had granted wisdom to one of God's people. And they were able to speak with that wisdom because it came from God. Wisdom, especially true wisdom given by God in His Word, allows you to live this life well. As Solomon puts it, it causes your face to shine. It changes the hardness of your face. When you go through life living as the fool does, living as a way in a way that brings disruption into your life or into the lives of others by living contrary to the customary order of things or living contrary to what God has instructed you to do in His Word, negative consequences befall you. As the writer to the Proverbs says, Solomon, the way of the transgressor is hard. Your face becomes darkened and gloomy. It becomes a miserable and hardened face. Perhaps you know people like this. People who insist and persist in living in a way that is in rebellion to the counsel of others, or living in rebellion to what God calls them to do. They insist and persist in living in a way that is inconsistent with God's word. And their faces are often hardened. They're grouchy. They're miserable looking. And yet when you live with wisdom, there is a brightness and softness about your face, a relaxing of your face, so to speak, because you know that you are honoring God by the way you are living. You know that you are doing what is right, not bringing unnecessary difficulty upon yourself and upon other people. You're not living with the subconscious, anxious guilt of a wrongdoer. And you can see that in people's faces. The person who has come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the countenance has changed, isn't it? There's a brightness to a believer's face because they know the freedom that comes in the blood of Jesus Christ. Their sins have been taken away, and there's a lightness, a brightness, a relaxation in the hands of the Lord. But the one who does not know God and does not live according to His Word experiences the darkness of life, the difficulty of life, and you can see it in their face. And as Solomon instructs us to live with wisdom here, as we respond to various circumstances of life here in chapter 8, we see that he focuses on two main difficulties that we encounter in this crooked world. And the first one is how to deal with difficult superiors, difficult people who are in authority over us. And the second one is how to deal with confusing or difficult circumstances in our lives. And we're going to consider that second one next week. And this week, we're going to focus on Solomon's call to you and me to live with wisdom by living in respectful obedience to the authorities in your life. Live with wisdom by living with respectful obedience to the authorities in your life. So with that in mind, let's consider how to deal with difficult superiors. I'll look again at verse 2. I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. In this section, Solomon draws our attention to the absolute monarch of the ancient Near Eastern world. This is the king. This is the sovereign. This is the man who rules his kingdom with absolute power and authority. His word is law. And so you follow his commands or else it will not go well with you. We can think again of the various leaders in which Daniel had to interact with. Think of King Nebuchadnezzar or King Darius. Or even the king to whom Esther was married, Ahasuerus. All of these leaders held the power of life and death in their hands. Or maybe more accurate, they held the power of life and death in their mouths. One word from them and your life was over. They had absolute power, absolute authority. Now, not every monarch ruled in such a way. Not every leader functioned in this way. However, the king was seen as someone who had that absolute power and authority. And this individual that Solomon is talking about is that kind of king. And he instructs God's people on how to interact with wisdom in relationship to somebody like that, some king and his power and authority. And the very basic and simple direction that Solomon gives us, gives God's people about how we should interact and respond to the rulers over us, is that we are to simply obey. Simply obey. Keep the king's command, Solomon says. And Solomon gives us two reasons for this. The first reason to obey the king and keep his command is for God's sake. It's for God's sake. Obey the king for God's sake. Verse 2 again, I say, keep the king's command because of God's oath to him. In verse 2, Solomon tells us to keep this king's command because of God's oath to him. And one of the difficulties with this particular verse is that this passage in Hebrew is unfortunately very ambiguous. It can be translated in at least two different ways. One could take it as the ESV has translated it here, God's oath to him, which would lead one to think about the way in which God has made an oath to the kings of Israel. And so if Solomon has in mind an Israelite king here, this verse might refer to God's promise to King David that one of his descendants would be the messianic king. And so if that were the case, God's people were to tread very lightly in their interactions with this king and certainly should honor and obey this king, right? This is God's anointed one. Even so, all of the kings of the kingdom were seen as God's anointed one. This is why David does not strike Saul when he has the opportunity to kill him. Far be it from me to strike the Lord's anointed. The basic idea is that this king is God's king. This is the ruler that God has placed over you, so you submit to him out of honor and reverence for God. You obey the king's command for God's sake. But this verse can also be translated in such a way that says that we are to keep the king's command because of your oath to God. Your oath to God, which I actually think is perhaps more fitting here because it seems more consistent with what the Bible says elsewhere regarding the reason for our obedience to the authorities over us. This understanding emphasizes the oath of allegiance that one would make in service to a king. So you make an oath before the face of God to submit to and serve and obey the king as a loyal subject. And so you submit to and honor the king because you are honoring your oath that you have made to God to do so. Whichever understanding or translation you go with, the basic principle, I think, is still the same. You obey the king, you submit to the rulers over you for God's sake. You do so out of honor and reverence for God himself. What Solomon says here is something that the New Testament readily affirms. So think of Paul in Romans 13. Paul says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment." The Apostle Peter says very much the same thing in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17. He says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme," and interestingly, that word for emperor in Greek it can be translated king, so the same idea is in mind, king as supreme, "or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people, living as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God." Listen to this last phrase. "Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king." And that last phrase, Peter is very likely quoting Solomon from Proverbs 24, verse 21, where Solomon says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king, and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. It is the clear call of God's word in both the Old and New Testament to obey the authorities over you for God's sake. But one of the things that we need to remember, and one of the things that you know from history and from experience, and one of the things that these verses do not assume, they do not assume, is that the kings and rulers that we find over us are perfectly righteous, good, and upstanding, upright people, right? The Word of God does not assume that. Our experience tells us that that's certainly not the case. At the time Paul and Peter were writing, that was certainly not the case, and Solomon himself was not a shining example of a very good, upright, and righteous person his whole life, even as he was ruling as king. Yet despite the character and actions of kings and rulers, these verses in the New Testament, as well as what Solomon says here, calls us to submit to and obey those who are in authority over us for the sake of God. Now, obviously, this does not extend to those commands which these rulers give you that violate the Word of God. I think you know that well enough. Any command that comes from the civil authorities, or any authority for that matter, that would cause you to violate God's law or keep you from obeying and following God's law, that command must be disobeyed. As the apostles say in Acts chapter 5, when they were commanded to go against what the Lord had called them to do, they respond to those authorities over them, "We must obey God rather than man." And in doing so, they're exercising godly wisdom. They're following the Word of God and applying the Word of God to their lives and to their circumstances. That's wisdom. And the apostles are exercising godly wisdom in their circumstances. And this is an expression of what Solomon says of the wise man at the end of verse 5. The wise heart will know the proper time and the just way. So the wise man knows when to obey the civil authorities or any authority over you. But the wise man also knows when to disobey because of his allegiance and his obedience to God, who is the ultimate authority. But friends, under every other circumstance, we are to submit to and obey the commands and laws and of the authorities placed over us. And we do this regardless of whether we like the ruler or not. And regardless of whether we like what is decreed or not. Despite whether we dislike the commands of our rulers, disagree with them, or think them to be unwise, we are called to respond with respect and to not resist what the authorities over us call us to do. And one of the beautiful things about living in the modern society that we do is that we are in a democratic republic. We have the opportunity to change the rulers over us when the time comes. We have an opportunity to influence and change the laws that govern us. But until that time comes, what is our call? You submit to the king. You obey. You obey with respect and do not resist. And this is what Solomon identifies in verses 3 and 4. Do not be hasty to go from his presence. Do not take your stand in an evil cause, for he does whatever he pleases. So do not be hasty to go from his presence communicates the idea of being frustrated and upset with what the king has commanded to the point where you storm out of his presence or just leave quickly and in a disrespectful manner. This is not showing due honor or respect to the king. So imagine doing that in the presence of one of these absolute monarchs. He tells you to do something, you're like, that's enough of you, and you storm out. Do you think you're going to make it to the door? You're not. You're going to be struck down. You're going to die. And so wisdom says, don't flee from his presence. Receive his commands with respect. Even if you disagree with them, you receive them with respect. We are to respond with an attitude of respect to the commands and decrees and laws and instructions of the authorities placed over us by God. But the second half of this verse, do not take your stand in an evil cause, has to do with your resistance to what the king has commanded. Your open resistance, perhaps even defiance and rebellion against what the king has commanded. So this is a clear act of, or lack of, submission and obedience to the king, to the ruling authority that the Lord has placed over you. If you listen respectfully to what the king says when you're in his presence and leave very honorably, and then you go out and raise a force against him, how do you think he's going to respond? He's going to fight back. He's going to try to put you down. Or if you say, yes, I will go do that, and then you don't go do it, you're in trouble. So you listen with respect and you obey what you've been told. Solomon is calling us to live with wisdom by obeying the commands of our rulers for the sake of God. Again, even if it is something that we don't like, disagree with, or think unwise, or even if the ruler is someone that we do not like, we are to remain respectful and we are to not resist unless it is something that is contrary to God's word. So we obey the ruling authorities over us with respectful submission. And the first reason Solomon gives is for God's sake, out of their ultimate obedience to God himself. The second reason Solomon tells us to obey the king is so that it will go well with us. Maybe you've already picked up on that. It will go well with us. Obey so that it will go well with you. Look at the end of verse 3 into verse 5. For he does whatever he pleases. For the word of the king is supreme, and who may say to him, what are you doing? Whoever keeps a command will know no evil thing. So because that king has absolute authority and power over his subjects, he can do to them whatever he wants to do. And if someone were to disrespect him or resist his will, he would bring, as our text says in verse 5, an evil thing upon them. They would receive harm at his hand for disobeying, as we've already thought about. But Solomon reminds us, whoever keeps the command of the king will know no evil thing. And again, this is exactly what the New Testament tells us. Paul in Romans 13 says, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment, an evil thing. He goes on, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the rulers, of those who are in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, taking from our text, if you disrespect him or do not obey the law, be afraid, Paul says, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. So what Paul is saying in Romans 13 and what Solomon is saying here is built off of the basic teaching that is found in the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In that commandment, God is not just calling us to honor our fathers and our mothers, but the fundamental principle in the command is to honor those who have been set over us by God as our authorities, those who have authority over us, our superiors, as we might generalize it. And the result of honoring those who are in authority over us is given in the command that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. So when you honor, when you respect, when you obey, it's going to go well with you. That's wrapped up in the fifth commandment. So if you do what is right, if you respect and honor and obey the king, it will go well with you. This is Solomon's advice about how to live with wisdom in relationship to this king. Even if this is a difficult ruler who makes laws and decrees that you don't like or agree with, you are to obey, and you are to obey for the sake of God and so that it will go well with you. Now, again, I realize that we live in the United States. We don't have a king ruling over us in this country. We don't have an absolute monarch ruling over us. But Solomon's wisdom, and the New Testament's wisdom for that matter, doesn't apply only to kings and emperors. Neither does the fifth commandment, for that matter, does it? But these wise principles apply to anyone who has a position of authority over you. So how will you relate to those who have authority over you? That's what we can draw from what Solomon is saying here. And is superior, whether it's the federal government, state and local governments, police officers, employers, school principals, teachers, your parents, even elders in the church. These are all authorities that the Lord has placed in your life. These are all authorities over us. These are all of those governing human institutions, as Peter put it in his letter. And even though most, if not all, of these categories of superiors don't have the power and authority of an absolute monarch, and though they don't act with such fast and perhaps capricious judgment as an absolute monarch, our founding fathers saw to it that that wouldn't happen as they founded this country, Solomon still gives some wise advice on how to deal with people who are over us. And the general rule, friends, is for you to obey and submit to the will and directions of those who are over you. Even if you are instructed to do something that you do not like or agree with, you respond with respect and you do what is expected of you. It will do you no good to roll your eyes at your boss. Have you ever thought about doing that? Have you done it? He's done it. And I'm sure it did you no good, did it? It'll do you no good to roll your eyes at your boss. It'll do you no good to roll your eyes at a police officer, will it? It'll do you no good to roll your eyes at your teacher or your parents. It'll do you no good to walk away from them in a huff, mumbling under your breath after you have been instructed to do something. It will certainly do you no good to disobey, to resist, to fight against anyone who has authority over you. Because depending upon the authority that you're dealing with, the result is going to be maybe a timeout or a spanking, to getting kicked off a sports team, to being suspended or expelled from school, to being arrested and put in prison, or worse. It will not go well with you. The result of poorly responding and responding without wisdom to those in authority over you will only result in negative consequences that will leave your face gloomy and hardened. Not the disposition of the shining and relaxed face that wisdom can bring, right? And of course, this is all a small picture of the reality of living before the face of God. The fundamental disrespectful and rebellious heart is something that all mankind has and has in relationship to God. And so in a way, this is a call for us to submit to the true King, Jesus Christ. Submit to him for God's sake and honor to him, but submit to him so that it would go well with you. And the wonderful thing about submitting to the call and reign of Jesus Christ, in which he calls all men everywhere to repent, is that it is so free and so life-giving, because it relieves from you the burden of sin and gives to you the wonderful gift of righteousness and forgiveness that you might live and have a shining face before the Lord your God. But check your heart. If you live with a natural disposition of disrespect and rebellion in your heart, check your heart, because that could be an indicator of your ultimate disposition to put before the Lord Almighty. And you may need to repent. You may need to seek the Lord's forgiveness today and come to him in humble submission before the Lord and bow down before him and say, Lord, I am a sinner and I need your grace. And the King of heaven and earth is not a whimsical, capricious, fast-acting, judging king, but he is a merciful God. and he extends his grace to you and will receive you and forgive you and cause your face to shine and take that hardened face and hardened heart of yours and soften it and bring you into a relationship with himself. But as we live in this life with difficult rulers, the call is to obey with respectful obedience. And I know that respect and obedience can be hard to give sometimes, especially when those in authority over us are abusing their position, authority, and power for their own benefit. Or they're just miserable people to interact with. Maybe it's the boss you've rolled your eyes at. Just miserable people to interact with. But if you're not being required to do something against the word of God, or you're not being kept from doing what God is calling you to do, the call of wisdom is for you to obey and do so respectfully. Again, remember the reasons. You do so for God's sake. He's the one who's placed these authorities in your life. It's out of honor and service to him that you obey. Because not only is this a keeping of the full meaning of the fifth commandment and other commandments of Scripture to submit, but your submission and obedience to the superiors over you is ultimately your submission to God himself, because you do not labor for man, but you labor ultimately for God, do you not? He is your true king. And when you obey respectfully, it will go well with you. So Solomon tells us to use wisdom then in interacting with those in authority over us for the sake of God and for your own sake. Doing so will allow your faces to shine instead of being gloomy. It will change our faces from being hard set in resistance to being relaxed with respect and peace. But there's one other reason that I want to add to why we should follow Solomon's admonition to obey those in authority over us. And it's a reason that the New Testament gives. And when we add this reason in, we find that our faces not only shine in our honor of God, they not only shine because things will go well with us, but they shine with a gospel brilliance to others around us in a darkened world. Our faces will shine with a gospel light to a darkened world. Solomon tells us to obey the authorities over us, and I want you to listen again to what Peter says as he's following up on what Solomon is teaching, Solomon's admonition. Listen to what Peter says again in 1 Peter chapter 2. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. So Peter gives us one more reason to respectfully submit and obey the authorities placed over us. For this is the will of God, he says, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Both Solomon and Peter have shown us that we are not called to live rebelliously. That brings the ire and reproach of our superiors upon us. That brings the criticism and scorn of unbelievers around us who will charge God's people, who will charge you with being subversive and a people who just cause problems. But that's not who we are, is it? That's not who our God is. That's not what we are called to be. But it is God's will, Peter says, what he desires and requires, that we do good. And in Solomon's and Peter's context, it's simply to be good citizens. So obey the law. Work to cultivate peace and stability in the society around you. But it's not just the government, as we have seen. It's anyone in authority over us, from parents to presidents. The Apostle Paul says in Titus to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. I think he was reading Ecclesiastes 8. Sounds a whole lot like what Solomon is saying here. Submit with respect and obedience. You see, above all others, Christians should be the ones seeking the welfare of the land in which they live, the good of our neighbors, the peace and prosperity of the church, and the peace and stability of our homes. We should not be seeking to be those who resist or cause problems. We should not be seeking to be any sharper of a thorn in the side of any authority than what faithful gospel living requires us to be. And so, yes, we obey for the sake of God. Yes, we want to obey so that it goes well with us. But friends, we also want to obey so that we do not add offense to the gospel by disobedient and subversive attitudes and behavior. We do not want to give the unbelievers living in this world, those who are ignorant of the truth, any more reason to slander our God, our Savior, or the church than naturally comes through the true, pure gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the reality still exists that because believers are children of light, unbelievers are always looking for ways to slander the church because light exposes darkness, and they'll come up with all sorts of reasons to slander us. But let's do whatever we can by our obedience to the authorities over us, by our goodness, our peaceableness, our friendship, our hospitality, our respect, and our love to silence the mouths of those who would criticize us and not place an unnecessarily stumbling block to the free gospel of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. When people see us coming, we do not want their response to be one of repugnance, do we? Because of our disrespectful or resistant attitudes. You don't want to be known as a difficult person or a troublemaker in your home or your church or your neighborhood, work, or society. But you want the world to see the face of someone who has had their sins forgiven by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone who loves their God and Savior, and someone who is willing to live a peaceable life of love and service to others because you are someone who is ultimately serving the one who loved you and gave his life for you. It is living out of this knowledge that allows you, as far as it depends on you, to be at peace with all men and live quiet and peaceable lives. It is this wisdom that will allow the unbelievers in this world, whether they are the authorities over you or whether they are just watching you from the sidelines, it would allow them to see your shining, soft face of love in this dark world. And Lord willing, God will use that. God will use that and the relationships that you build by your peaceable agreeableness to shine in the hearts of unbelievers, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the shining face of Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, live with wisdom in this crooked world by living in respectful obedience to the authorities over you, no matter who they may be. Do it for the sake of God. Do it for your sake, that it would go well with you. And do so to be a shining face in this dark world. And may God be glorified. And may he draw men, women, and children to himself. Let's pray. Our Lord in heaven, we ask for the grace to do this. Lord, you have given us what we are to do in your word. You have commanded us to follow your will, Lord God. Then extend your grace. Give us your grace to do it. We need you to be operating in our minds and in our hearts, to be instructing us in the way of wisdom by your Holy Spirit in your word, to know how to live as faithful Christians in this dark world. Please, Lord God, use our words, our lives, our actions to bring glory to your name and to bring men, women, and children to know you in a saving way. Do this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.